I'm on a sound walk at the St. George's Festival in Leicester. I'm watching some maypole dancing in the Guildhall.
Mummy, I need my song back. Mummy, I need my song back.
Rose, go to Mummy.
And going into the cellar area, and there's a video going on. I'm in the Guildhall foyer and walking out into the street by the cathedral. They're preparing for the 10th Leicester First Season Scout and Guide Band concert just outside the entrance to the cathedral.
It's just so I can quickly put it down because I don't know how to stand.
Hello,
cheer,
the new house.
Are you going to start soon?
I have no idea. yes. Not long.
I'm just here. The guy on the end's probably there, so I'm passing.
Thank you.
They're talking.
Roman period would have been used for, would have still been found and used in this period, and it would have been used for, you know, like if you had a shopping list or if you wanted to send a message to someone, you would have used something like this. There's a bit of a changeable period because the Vikings were still using runes, but in the UK we were using the Latin alphabet, so we were using a lot of Latin writing, but also writing in English. But people probably would have still... There were still runes around, and people would have been able to read runes, but it's probably much more likely that they would have been used sort of to mark things. You'd probably be able to write your name in runes because it's... Because of the angular nature of the runes themselves, is a lot easier to stamp or carve into. So if you wanted to name, we find a lot of items that have runes in. Like there's a really lovely toy sword where, like, obviously annoyed with his kids fighting about it, a dad has like carved into the sword, "This sword belongs to Eric or Alfred or whatever the name of the kid is." And so we have these kind of like inscriptions. There was also a poem that was kind of like an acrostic poem where... So runes are slightly different from English letters in that the name of the rune is a noun. So we might associate A is for apple, but we don't talk about apple, you know, unless we're using the sort of like the phonetic alphabet, you know, that you don't usually say T for tango, or, you know, like, it's only when you're spelling stuff out. The runes, however, had a specific... So the A, the A sound is ash rune, and that meant the ash tree. So it was very much... And they also had sort of... on the Saxon, on the Viking side, on the pagan side, that had some... Or there has been some assumption that there is a magical connection to that. And like you often hear about people fortune telling with runes and things like that. And whether or not, we don't have the best evidence, because the evidence we have is oral history that was written down 300, 400 years later. But we know, we have found rune stones with runes camp, like sort of stamped in. So our best guess is that that's probably, you know, like it would have had, or an ash tree meant, you know, that you would do this. Yes. Yes.
Now, how do you think we're going to clean this after we've fought and killed? Wipe it on your sleeve, it's done. Next weapon you're going to see is the Dane axe. The Dane axe, the fear of all England, the curse. When this weapon hits you, it will go down from your shoulder to your stomach. Easy to use, smash them in the leg. Don't hurt him. He's rich, we want to nick everything off him. Smash the shield wall, and we can also block weapons with it. The Dane axe was feared by everyone because of how big it was. As tall as the man's chin, a great weapon, but a tiring one. Battle of Stamford Bridge. One Viking held his Dane axe, and he held up a Saxon army of 1,000 men. He swung and he carved them to hell. One man rode under him. Now, have you ever heard the phrase, they don't like it up them? He rode that ship underneath at Stamford Bridge and he didn't like it up him. That's where the phrase comes from. Back at the Battle of Hastings, a Dane axe decapitated a knight and then his horse as well in the same stroke. The horse, of course, went, oh, nay. The spear has been used since the Neolithic period. It's a big pointy stick. Why is it a great weapon? It's still used today. It's literally the soldier's last weapon. It's an extra bit of metal on the end. Stick it in at long range. You live. Every culture, bar one, had its own spear. The only culture, funny enough, that didn't actually have a spear. Sorry, folks. The only culture that didn't have a spear was the Aboriginal culture of Australia. That was it. Every other nation had its own spear.
Hello.
Hello.
Would you like to tell me who you are and what you're up to?
So we are the Vikings of Middle England. We're based in Braunston Town, just outside of Leicester, and we're a Viking Anglo-Saxon reenactment group. So we portray anywhere between the 800s to right up to the Great Norman Invasion. Battle of Hastings, 1066, so that 300-year period is the entire period we cover.
And what do you get out of being involved?
Oh, it's an absolute community spirit. I always wanted to do reenactment as a sort as a youngster, but could never really work out which one. Then I made some significant lifestyle choices and grew my hair and grew my beard out, and that kind of left me one choice, which was the Vikings and Saxons. Joining the group, they've taught me so many skills, how to sew. Every session is a learning session as well. It's not just about the fighting, which is a great part of it, don't get me wrong. The combat is fantastic. But every day you're learning about the living history and how we operated as a society over 1,000 years ago. Every day is a learning day. It's absolutely amazing. And the friends that you make. We're a great big bunch of nerds who can be quite vicious on occasion.
Thank you. I'm outside the Gadabout pub and walking further away from the festival into Leicester. So I've come to the end of Guildhall Lane on my sound walk, and I'm going to turn round and walk back. And hear more sounds as I walk back. Could I ask you what you're doing?
I'm basically just cutting out circles to be turned into
thank you very much, sir.
What coin from this like Viking era would kind of be like.
So what we'll do, take this off.
I'm new to this, I'm not really the person to ask.
So I'm not really
That's great. Can I just record what right you're now, doing, okay? Just to hear the sound?
Yeah.
Made a little silver coin.
Authentic coins that would have been in the area. Unfortunately, I don't have full visual prescription in at the moment, so I can't see much of the markings. But essentially, they're two sides of legitimate coins that would have been around from the period.
Can you tell me what you're doing now?
I am the coinsmith at this moment in time, so I am cutting the engravings and markings into some coins. I can just do one as an example if you want. So we're putting the silver blank, or pewter in this case, and then we put the stamp inside it. We give it a good bash. I don't know how good this is going to transfer over, so sorry if it's crackly. Hit it really hard with all of our immersive Viking strength, and then we've made the engravings of the authentic coin onto the silver or pewter sheet.
Thank you.
No problem.
Have a great day.
Now walking into the cathedral. I'm from Source Sound Radio. I wonder if you could talk me through what's going on today here.
Okay, I'll come back to you. It's all right. It's a family conversation. Right. Well, I'm the verger. So we have taken part in the City Festival of St. George, which moved from the Curve area, the cultural area, and moved into the heritage area of Leicester, and it's a great success. There's a lot of spaces where people, where different reenactment groups, Morris dancing, everything else, can have their site. And it's brought the whole city back in, and it's the first time since opening the cathedral after its restoration that we've been able to welcome the whole city into the cathedral, and it's been brilliant. Right.
Thank you very
much. Okay, right. It's all right, I was talking to my nephew, who's about to leave for Australia.
Let you go. Looking at some more stalls in the cathedral.
There's only two left now because some still
I'm passing the tomb of Richard III in the cathedral. Back into the Guildhall. Upstairs.